Hi, babies, friends, my little sweeties. I'm back with another episode. It's me again. I don't know why I always start the episodes off like that. I feel like I need to find something else to say. Back with another episode. Is that annoying to you guys? I don't really know what to say at the beginning. Hey everyone, it's Katie. If you're new here, hi, welcome. I'm so happy to have you. This is the Suspect Podcast, where we discuss true crime stories that maybe you've heard, maybe you have not. But it's always an insane case, something that I love to break down and just share my opinions with you guys. If you're not new here, then you know I am a very opinionated individual, and I have always been like that my entire life, actually. So it'll probably never change. My dad used to tell me when I was little, because I've always been the kind of person that, like, well, first of all, I have the reputation in my family as the one not to really fuck with, but I also have the reputation of I'm gonna make my point every single time, whether you choose to understand it or willingly don't want to understand it, completely fine. I don't really care. I'm gonna make my point every time. And I feel like I kind of do that on the podcast, and it makes me laugh. So, I'm sure I've had some opinions on here that others do not agree with, and I'm sure a lot of you do agree with them. So it's not really for me about what you agree with and what you don't agree with. It's right versus wrong, always, in my mind. So whatever that looks like, whatever the situation is, I'm always going to be leaning towards, you know, the right answer, like treating people like humans. And yeah, that's what I aim for in this life. So this podcast is all about sharing those stories of the victim, sharing how it went down in court. Did the system fuck them over, like we've seen so many times, or did the system actually play in their favor and make changes accordingly after that? The case I have for you this week is actually a cold case. And if you're listening and been a listener for some time, you guys know I'm not really big on cold cases. I honestly hate them. Like, and it's not that I hate them, because I do think that cold cases obviously are so important to be solved so that those families can have justice and all the individuals involved in the scenario or situation deserve justice and an answer and closure on whatever may have happened. But cold cases drive me crazy, because in my mind, as someone who sits down, and I told you guys, I get so invested in these stories, I almost feel like it's my job to solve them myself, and that I'm the investigator, like looking into all the evidence and the information laid in front of me. It almost like frustrates me mentally. And I only have the evidence that's like been provided on these articles or online or wherever, you know? So yeah, that's why I don't cover too many of them, is I like a resolution to my story. But unfortunately, that is not always the reality to some of these crime cases that are very much happening in the communities around us and far away from us. So the one I have for you guys today is a cold case. It's, you know, pretty old. It's not anything that's happened recently, and it may be something that you've heard on another podcast, maybe not, but we're going to talk about it today. It's the story of Darlene Hulse, if you have heard of it. If not, stay tuned. Before we jump into the episode today, I wanted to tell you guys a funny story. So you guys know I took like a little break and I hadn't recorded for a couple months. So every time I sit down to do an episode, I'm thinking, what is something that happened, you know, within those few months that I haven't talked about on the podcast, whether it was funny or like a situation that I was growing in or whatever. And I thought of one the other day. I have a story for you guys that happened. I don't remember when it was, maybe like September of 2023. And it like traumatized the fuck out of me. So I'm gonna tell you guys that story, give you a little background. We had to go back into the office at my job on like a hybrid schedule. We were completely work from home, but now we have to go into the office 3 days a week. Completely fine. I'm honestly living for like the social aspect of it. I'm a very social person, especially when it comes to like a work environment. So it's been pretty good for me. And I like my coworkers. Cool, whatever. Well, one of my coworkers that I had been working with basically since my first day with this company got promoted, and she is relocating to a different state. This is back in September. So I go to work. I get off around 3:30 every day, depending on if I stay late. And we had decided that after work this particular day that we were going to have like a going away party for one of my coworkers that was moving. And I also think it might have been her birthday. I don't really remember. It might have been like a birthday slash like going away party, but it definitely was like a going away party, right? So we all go to this restaurant and we're all trying to get there after work. And I live in Denver. Fucking traffic is so bad. The restaurant that I have to go to is like 40 minutes away. I have to go home and get ready before I go to the restaurant, change out of my work clothes, whatever, you know? So downtown where I work, there's like parking garages because they're all like huge, you know, corporate office buildings. So they have parking garages next to all these buildings, whatever. So I park in the parking garage, and the street that the parking garage like comes out on is on a one-way street. So you have to wait for like all of these cars to pass by before you can pull out of the parking garage onto the street. Whatever. I've been doing this every day. You know what I mean? So the parking garage that you pull out on, there's a sidewalk right there before you pull out onto the street. But when the parking garage opens, like a bunch of buzzers go off and stuff. So the anybody on the sidewalk knows that like a car is about to come out because there's a wall right there and like the car's coming out, can't really see, you know, too well, but there's a buzzer. So you should know to like stop or at least poke your head around so like the cars can see you, whatever, right? So girl, listen, I pull out of this parking garage like I have so many other days in my life since we've gone back to the office, and I pull out, and most cars, there's a stop sign right there. Most cars will pull up to the stop sign, stop, and then pull out completely across the sidewalk. Well, I am like so cautious of like hitting anyone that I stop at the stop sign and then I like inch my way forward just to ensure like literally nobody's coming, you know? So I do that same thing I do every day, and I'm inching forward. And I realize, okay, nobody's coming. Cool. So then I stop because, like I said, it's a one-way road and you have to wait for all of these fucking cars to go by. And so I stop and I look to my right to make sure there's no cars coming and I can pull out onto the street, you know, turn left. And as I turn my head to look right, bitch, I hear this loud ass like fucking smack into the side of my car. Mind you, the brand new car. I mean, it's not brand new, but it's brand new to me, the car that I had just gotten. This shit smacks into my fucking car. And I'm like, what in the fuck was that noise? So I look to my left and there's just a dude laying on the sidewalk, holding his knee, rolling around on the sidewalk. And I'm like, oh my God, did I fucking hit somebody? Like, all these things were going in my mind. I'm like, what the fuck happened? I know I looked like I know I stopped my car. You know what I mean? I know that's what happened. But I'm panicked because I'm like, oh my God, dude, like, what the fuck? I literally am on the way to a work dinner. This is the worst thing that could happen to me right now. My nerves are shot. I already have anxiety. I can feel myself shaking and I like don't even know what to do. So I look and I see him laying on the sidewalk and I jump out of my car and I'm like, oh my God, like, are you okay? Are you okay? And he's like wincing in pain, grabbing his fucking knee. The scooter bitch is on the sidewalk, just fucking laid up on the sidewalk. Like he threw that bitch when he ran into my car. I don't really know. And he's just like literally rolling around. So I'm like, oh my God. And I'm just standing there and I'm like trying to talk to him, but the dude did not speak English. So I'm just like, oh my God, I don't even know what to do right now, Ray. I'm just standing there. And so he's holding up like one finger, almost like saying, give me a second. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm just standing there. There's people walking by looking at me. I'm so fucking embarrassed, bitch. And he gets up to try to stand up on his leg and falls down again. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, this is not what I need right now, bitch. Like I'm going to a fucking work dinner. And then his friend that he was like clearly riding scooters with, like came back around and he spoke English and he was like laughing at his friend. And I was like just standing there about to cry because I'm having terrible anxiety in this moment. And I looked at his friend and I was like, I don't know what to do. I was like, he hit my car. Like I was already pulled out and you can see the dent on my car where he like hit it. And he clearly ran into me. Like it was like the driver door, bitch. So it's like, I didn't hit him. He hit me. He fucking hit me. So I'm standing there talking to the friend and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, do you want me to call like an ambulance? Like, does he need a ride to the hospital? I'm like offering all these things. Like, do you want me to get you ice, water? And his friend's like, nah, he's fine. Like, he's literally fine. And the dude does not look fine, bitch. Like, he's sweating. He's literally sweating and holding onto his knee. And I'm just like, oh my God. So I'm still standing there. And then he looks at me, the friend does. And he was like, you're good. You can go. And I was like, are you sure that you guys don't need anything? Like, do you want my number? Like, in case he's still hurting later, you know, offering all these things. And he was like, no, he's good. And then the dude like waves me off and they got back on their scooters and like rode off. And I went to my fucking work dinner and I was shaking. I showed up and told all of my coworkers what happened and immediately ordered a margarita. And I was like, I cannot fucking believe that happened. So now every time I see a fucking scooter in downtown Denver riding, I'm so panicked because I'm like, are you serious? Like, did that really happen? And what makes all of this even worse, guys, is like 4 days before that, one of my coworkers, like, the public transportation in Denver is really good. So a lot of people will take like a light rail or like a bus to like a nearby stop and then like scooter their way the rest of the way to work or whatever. So one of my coworkers does that. She'll take the bus to like one of those little scooter drop-off places and then she'll take the scooter and it's like 5 blocks to work. Cool. So she had just told me a story like 4 days before this that she was on a scooter riding one of those scooters and there was a fucking, I don't remember if she said there was a pothole in the road or something was like in the road and she tried to like swerve out of the way and she hit the pothole and like fucking front flipped off of her scooter into the road. And it was at 3 p.m. So she said there was like a bunch of cars like coming by and she was so embarrassed and like showing me how she like scraped up her arms and stuff. And I laughed at her. Like, obviously, I was happy she was okay, but I was like, bitch, that's funny. Like, that's actually so funny that that happened. Like, that's fucking crazy. And then, like, 4 days later, somebody hit me on a scooter, and I'm so traumatized. I just don't even want to look at those scooters anymore. I'm, like, over it. But, yeah, I thought about that story a couple days ago, and I was like, oh, my God, I have to tell them that because that was something that I talked about for, like, days. So yeah, basically all I'm saying is don't ride those scooters. If you see somebody on a scooter, get in the opposite fucking lane so you're not even near them. Because I don't know if they're reckless or if it's just dangerous. I'm thinking they're just dangerous, guys. I don't think we need to be on the scooters. I think if you're over the age of like 24, stay the fuck off the scooters, okay? Go get in your car. Go figure something out. Don't be on a scooter. Please, please, please don't get on no fucking scooter. Okay, so we'll go ahead and jump into the story for today. Again, this is the murder of Darlene Hulse. I will be linking any articles with information in the show notes below or the episode notes. What are they called? I don't really know, but they'll be in the notes below as always. So you guys can check those out on your own time or kind of go along with me as we go through the case today, kind of whatever you want. But I really like these articles that I pick out, guys, because I try to find articles that are like set up in the timeline of the story. Sometimes when you're looking into these true crime stories, the articles are kind of like all over the place and you have to piece together the timeline. And I don't really want to do that. So I like when the articles have the timeline set for you, is all I'm trying to say. I really appreciate that. It's giving Wikipedia for sure. Okay. A young Marshall County mother was beaten to death nearly 35 years ago. The violent attack started at her home with her three young daughters inside. Investigators believe Darlene Hulse was killed by a stranger. In her latest Michiana Unsolved, New Center 16's Kim Shine explains why the family believes that this may be their last chance at justice. My grandfather had come over, and he didn't live too far from us. He was riding his bike, and he brought us bananas. I remember him leaving, us waving goodbye to him, and Mom was like, okay, go get in the tub, we've got errands to run, or something. It was a normal summer morning in the town of Argos, Friday, August 17th, 1984. As 8-year-old Marie and 6-year-old Melissa were in the tub, they heard unfamiliar sounds. And it sounded like a dog barking, like growling and just noises, Marlene McCleskey said. And I looked at Melissa like, Dad brought us a dog, a puppy. We got excited, and I was like, I'm going to check it out. You stay right here. Now, 42 years old, Marie remembers running down the hall to find there was no dog. Instead, there was a stranger inside of their house. She saw a man wrestling in the doorway with their 28-year-old mother, Darlene Hulse. Marie raced to the phone to dial one of the two numbers she knew. It happened so fast, I couldn't compute what was going on, and my mom was yelling at me, "Run, run." We lived in a ranch house, so I ran the length of the den into the kitchen, and I just remember thinking, "Okay, I have to call somebody," Marie recounted. This was before 911, so I started dialing my aunt's number, and all the while he's dragging my mom by her hair towards me. And I get the busy signal, I drop the phone, and then he comes over as he's dragging my mom, and he pulls the phone out of the wall from the top down. Still unclothed, Marie rushed out the back door to her grandparents' house nearby. Melissa wasn't far behind, but their 12-month-old sister, Kristen, was still inside with their mom. Officers arrived to the Hulse home about 15 minutes later. Outside, they found a trail of blood leading from the front door down to the driveway to where the suspect's car was believed to be parked. Inside the home, there were signs of a deadly struggle, including a broken fireplace poker. Police believe Darlene was beaten in the living room with the weapon. When police arrived, the car was gone. Darlene was gone, Marshall County prosecuting attorney Nelson Chipman said. The one-year-old, sadly, was in the middle of the living room covered with her mother's blood. Imagine being, like, a police officer or anybody on the scene, and, like, the mom's gone. The two other girls ran off, and so this one-year-old is inside the home by herself. You walk in covered in her mother's blood. Like, just imagine an absolute nightmare that was for police to see. I can't imagine. The oldest daughters told police what they saw, and two sketches were created. They said he was driving a greenish-blue late-model car, meaning 1970 to 1974, in poor condition with rust on the sides. A neighbor driving by also saw the car earlier that morning. After the attack, Chipman said an intensive but quick manhunt began. Remarkably, the next day, there was a call that a body was found in a remote wooded area about 6 miles from the Hulse home. A timber buyer marking trees to cut stumbled upon a fully clothed Darlene. "That was a remarkable stroke of luck," Chipman said. "That time of year, this would have been so overgrown. I've been here that time of year. You would have not seen her from the road." Police believe the alleged delivery man lived in the area, and it's where Darlene was found that also convinces investigators that the suspect was someone local. At the time, there was an old broken fence where she was found, and in such an isolated area, Chipman said the man must have known where he was going. "It wasn't newly done," he said. "It couldn't be pure coincidence that you come down this dirt road and you come to an area where, oh, there's a V, I can just take her in there." I'm just wondering if he, whoever the gentleman is, saw her and had more contact with her than what we actually realized, Marie questioned. "I don't remember my mom ever just talking to random men. It was mostly family members. Maybe he saw her because it was a close community, and maybe he had ties with her that we didn't realize. That's the only thing that I can wrap my brain around. Or he was a complete psycho. Like, who would be able to do this to somebody?" "I have grown up in fear, knowing that evil is real," daughter Kristen Hulse Rooks explained. Kristen said the attack was 2 days before her first birthday. As her sisters ran for help, she was inside the house with her mom and the intruder. "I feel like I'm very lucky to be here. I feel like she did the best she could to protect us, and that was the goal. And for that, I'm eternally grateful," she said. Without the same memories as her sisters, the 35-year-old deals with her pain by asking questions. She often checks in with Chipman, and her sisters hope this story will jog someone's memory. That's because investigators have the evidence: fireplace tools, a bloody chunk of red carpet, but no suspect DNA. You've asked, "Well, maybe some of the blood is his. Maybe he had an injury," Chipman said. "They've looked, they've examined, and they just keep confirming that it's Darlene's." It makes me frustrated to think that now, if this crime had happened now, we would have so many more answers, and then there just seemed to be no rhyme or reason as to why it happened. And there's no way he could have gone home without any scratches, any blood, nothing on him, Kristen said. Somebody knows something or knows that their husband or their brother was acting very weird, strangely that day and for a while after that. The lack of DNA has helped keep this case ice cold, but detectives are not giving up. Right now, detectives are starting over with fresh eyes, once again tracking down persons of interest and conducting interviews. Chipman also said they're choosing new pieces of evidence to send to the Indiana State Police Crime Lab. This is our last chance. It's so old, he said with a sigh. 35 years is a long time. It's also a long time for Darlene's daughters to live with those horrifying memories of the man who brutally murdered their mother. But they will always love the kind, God-fearing woman who did what she had to do to save her daughters. And with this story, the family hopes that you may remember something. She was a very sweet mom, Marie explained, smiling. And I remember I used to suck my thumb when I was little. So my dad would put a sock over my hand before I went to sleep, and my mom would sneak in the middle of the night, and she was like, I'll get that for you, honey, and she'd take the sock off. Darlene's husband and other daughter did not participate in this story. That's because even after all these years, the pain is understandably still fresh for them. If you remember something about this case, no matter how small, come forward. You can contact the Marshall County Prosecuting Attorney's Office at 574-935-8666, and you can even remain anonymous. You can even call the News Center 16 newsroom. Your tip could finally bring peace to this family. And that is the story of Darlene Hulse's murder. I hate cold cases. They make me so sad. Like, the fact that these families have to struggle with this grief and then there's just no closure for so long. Like, these three girls, now women, went their whole life knowing that they were there the day that something happened to their mom and just have no answers for 35 years. I'll include the sketches, too, that police, you know, had drawn up of the suspect. So you guys, again, check that out. So if you know anything, you can contact the state attorney's office or the new 16 room to report your tip. You can remain anonymous and maybe bring justice to this family that's been searching for it for a very, very long time. So again, I'll be linking everything in the episode notes, all articles, all sketches. You can find those on Instagram as well at Suspect Podcast. If you don't follow the Instagram, go check that out. You guys, I'm so happy because it's finally about to be warm in Denver. I saw on the weather app that we're going to have some 60 degree days next week. And to be honest with you, that's exactly what my mental health has needed. This cold, it's not even just the cold. It's like the no sun that really gets to me. Like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine living like in Alaska or something. I just cannot fucking imagine. I would be depressed, literally depressed. I literally texted Anna today and I said, can we please go to a country concert this summer? I just need that serotonin boost in my life. So I've been looking at country concerts all day that are coming to Colorado in 2024. And this is something I also did notice is not a lot of artists, and I won't say they don't come here, but at least it's not very often. Like, I feel like I got lucky that Bryson Tiller and SZA came to Colorado. But a lot of people don't, or if they do, it's like every couple years. And I'm not really used to that because I'm from Florida and I feel like fucking everybody goes to Florida on tour. And not only does everybody go to Florida on tour, but they go to like multiple cities in Florida. And I feel like that doesn't happen. Like in Colorado, if they come to Denver, like I'm lucky. And even then, it's not very often. So if you're listening to this and you're a country artist, can you please fucking come to Colorado? Okay. I want to put my boots on and I want to go and I was going to say drink a beer, but I don't drink beer. I want to go to a country concert with my boots on and stomp around in the mud in my sundress. Okay. Okay. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Again, share this podcast with a friend. Go follow at Suspect Podcast on Instagram. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast if you have not done that yet. I would really appreciate you. And I actually go through and read all of the reviews and comments that you guys leave. So I actually enjoy it. Go leave one. If it's nice, don't be mean. Don't be mean. Anyways, I love you guys. Thank you for listening. And until